Words of God given to us today are
Acts chapter
13, verse 4 and 5. It is page
209
in the New Testament.
제가 봉독하겠습니다.
The two of men sent on their way by the Holy Spirit went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they, Barnabas and Paul got on the ship heading for Cyprus Island, which was their first destination at the port of Seleucia, according to Act chapter 4 and 4, verse 6, Cyprus was Barnabas' hometown. Up to today's passage, from the time that Barnabas asked Paul, who had secluded himself in Tarsus, to come to Antioch and began their co-ministry, his name has always preceded Paul's name in the Bible. To Jewish people who consider hierarchy very important, it meant that Barnabas ranked higher than Paul. So the head of the ministry team that got on the ship to Cyprus at Seleucia and consists of Barnabas and Paul and John, their helper, was Barnabas. But it was not the case that Barnabas chose Cyprus, his hometown, at his discretion as their first place of ministry because he was the leader of the team. Verse 4 testifies as follows. The two of men sent on their way by the Holy Spirit went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. The team headed by Barnabas got on the ship heading for Cyprus following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was the Holy Spirit that had chosen Barnabas' hometown, Cyprus, as the first place for the ministry. Here, we are able to confirm God's consistent principle. Before the Lord ascended to heaven, He commanded His disciples to be witnesses of the Lord to the ends of the earth, but He did not send His disciples to the ends of the earth from the beginning. The resurrected Lord called them first to Galilee and had them begin their lives as the witnesses of the Lord there. Galilee was the hometown of His disciples. The Lord, who called Paul on his way to Damascus, didn't allow Paul to live as an evangelist right after his calling. He made Paul seclude himself for no less than 13 years in Tarsus and then called him out to Antioch. Tarsus was Paul's hometown. The Holy Spirit chose Barnabas and Paul to be the instrument through which the life and love that is in him were to flow into the world, and sent him first to Cyprus before all other places. Cyprus was the hometown of Barnabas, who was the head of the team. Jesus began his life as the Savior, meaning his public life as the Christ, in Galilee. His birthplace was Bethlehem, but it was a place that his parents, Joseph and Mary, had visited temporarily to comply with the order of the Roman emperor to effect family registry. If we are to speak of Jesus' hometown then, more accurately, it was Galilee where he lived since he was young. So in this respect, it can be said that Jesus also began his ministry as the Christ from his hometown. This is God's consistent principle. Whether it is the ministry of Christ or a ministry for Christ, it must begin in one's hometown. In other words, before the people, one is most close to. Because the people closest to you know everything about you. It is impossible to put on an act before them. You only can show yourself as you are. In a way, they know the reality of you better than you do.
더 정확하게 알고 있습니다. 바로 이것이
So God requests us to live as true Christians in front of those who are closest to us.
가장 가까운 사람들 앞에서부터 시작하게 하신 까닭이었습니다.
The reason is that only a person who can live as a Christian before people closest to him can live as a true evangelist. Then we also have to ask ourselves, am I a Christian only in the chapel? Do people closest to me perceive me as a true Christian? The thing we should not forget under any circumstances is that Jesus' disciples, and Barnabas and Paul of today's text, all of them showed the Lord as Christ and themselves as being Christians at their hometown to the people closest to them. And the fact is that this is exactly what God is requesting of us even today, consistently, without a change. What God wants from us is not our act in which we pretend to be Christians, but our lives lived as true Christians following the Lord as our example. Verse 5 testifies what Barnabas and Paul did as soon as they arrived at Cyprus, Barnabas' hometown and the place chosen with God's guidance as their first place of ministry. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. When they arrived at Salamis, a port located in the east of Cyprus, they preached the gospel visiting many synagogues. Barnabas and Paul, who were Jews, made synagogues as their outpost of ministry. And this was not limited to the island of Cyprus. Thereafter, as they went to Pisidia, Antioch, Iconium, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, Corinth, and Ephesus, and other places, wherever they went, they kept making synagogues as their outpost of ministry. Synagogues, where God's laws were taught, were ideally suited for meetings, and it also had an advantage in that it was very easy to meet many people there at all times. However, making synagogues as their outpost was not the original idea of Barnabas and Paul. It was the way of Jesus. Mark chapter 9:35 testifies like this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. One of the places where Jesus used as outpost for the gospel while he was on earth was the synagogue that was in each town. He taught God's words and healed sick people there. So, it was very natural for Barnabas and Paul also look for Jewish synagogues wherever they went, following after Jesus. It is the same today. But already 2,000 years ago, there always was a synagogue where Jewish people happened to live. And so as far as the spreading of the gospel was concerned, synagogues played an incomparably important role. If this is so, then we have to get to the bottom of the reason why Jewish synagogues had spread all over the world, which were indispensable for spreading the gospel in early Christianity. It is not easy to find out the origin of Jewish synagogues in the Old Testament. Nowhere in the Old Testament is a clear record concerning the precise origin of Jewish synagogues. The prevailing view is that the collapse of Jerusalem brought on by Babylonia 2,600 years ago is the beginning point of Jewish synagogues. As Jerusalem fell by the invasion of Babylonia in 586 BC, the Jerusalem temple was destroyed, and many Jews came to be scattered around the world. Other than those who were taken away as prisoners to Babylonia, many Jews had to relocate their lives to Egypt or Europe to escape persecution. However, Jewish people who left Israel came to face religious challenges. They needed a place to learn God's laws and pray in lieu of the Temple of Jerusalem, and that need was satisfied by the synagogues. Synagogue was a common name given to a place, an institution or a system for studying God's laws and prayers. Synagogues were also essential for the Jewish people who did not migrate to other countries but stayed in Israel, as the Jerusalem temple was left destroyed and it could no longer function as a temple. After 517 BC, when the temple of Jerusalem was reconstructed by the Jewish people who returned home from Babylonia, the synagogue system continued to exist. The Jews who lived in other countries had to maintain the synagogue system in any event, since there was no temple, and the Jews in Israel also needed town synagogues in order to have easy access to teaching of God's laws, in addition to the Temple of Jerusalem, where they offered sacrifices with animals. This is why, at the time of Jesus, there were synagogues, of course, within Israel, and also without fail, in other countries and places where Jewish people happened to live. If Jerusalem had not fallen and the Temple of Jerusalem had not been destroyed, and as a result, the Jewish people did not need to be scattered to other countries, and the Jewish synagogue system would not have become as deeply, as widely rooted in the Mediterranean world at the time. It is not easy to uproot and move the foundation of one's life, even in times of peace, and furthermore, to another country far away. Needless to say then, it cannot be but a great suffering for one to have to move the foundation of one's life to another country as a prisoner or a refugee after having lost one's country to an attack by alien people Also, it is not easy task to properly take root in a foreign country. Hence, the poet expressed the feelings of the Jewish people who were taken to Babylonia as captives as follows. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered the Zion. How can this be only the story of the Jewish people taken to Babylonia as captives? Wouldn't the lives of all Jewish people who had to scatter all over the world with the wound of having lost their homeland been a continuation of such painful tears? The reason they had to weep in a foreign country, having lost their homeland, did not lie with someone else. It was natural consequences of their own misdeeds. Although they lived foolishly as slaves of false desires, gnawing their lives away, lives more precious than the whole universe, God who loved them did not abandon them. Rather, God made them go through such process marked with tears in order for them to restore their relationship with God. There is no greater mercy of God than man's tears that restores and strengthens his relationship with God. What is amazing is that through that very process marked with tears, the synagogues, which were to be used soon as the outposts for the spreading of the gospel, were built. It truly was a mysterious providence of God. When the Jewish people, having lost their homeland, scattered to foreign countries and wet their days and spent their nights with tears, although it was the consequence of their own sins, God used them as His instruments. God used them as His instruments to lay the groundwork and build synagogues that would become indispensable for the spreading of the gospel. The days of pain and suffering the Jewish people had to spend in tears in alien countries were in fact times more precious than gold, in which, unbeknownst to them, they were being used by God. The deep emotions the Jewish people felt in realizing this precious truth after many years are expressed very well in Psalms 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes. O Lord, like streams in the Negev, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Tears shed before God, tears that are shed because of Him, are more precious than any jewels in this world. Those tears are the very blessings of God that enables us to be used again by God and to make new harvest. If I dare to make a personal confession, in other words, if I were to confess all the countless blessings of God in one word, it would be that God trust and uses a trifle and a worthless person like me, not only in Seoul where I live, but also on the other side of earth. What can be more moving and what greater joy can there be than a trifleman being used by a holy God? Furthermore, what I must further thank him for is that God does not only use me as now, my heart having turned to God in Jesus Christ from being a slave to human desires, but he has revived my past hours during in which I had turned my back on God so that they have become imbued with entirely new meaning in Jesus Christ. There were times of darkness that were long when I could not breathe freely. There were times of painful moments I wished to avoid, and even desperate moments in which I could not help but shed tears. There were more than several occasions that I wept in my heart as I walked down the street, although I may have looked fine on the surface. There were countless days to which I could not give any meaning or assign any value. However, now that the time has passed, all those times that I wished to erase even from my memory and all those experiences and pains from the past that were worthless, meaningless, ugly, and dark, have become the nutrients that have made who I am in Jesus Christ today. It is impossible outside of Jesus Christ, but the meaning and the worth of my dark and painful past have been newly restored and made it by God in Jesus Christ. Looking back, it is common confession of all Christians redeemed by God in Jesus Christ. And so Apostle Paul also confessed as follows. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9-10. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul not only turned his back on God, but was God's enemy who actively persecuted God's church with all his convictions. However, simultaneously with God calling him in Jesus Christ and using him as his instrument, the meaning of Paul's ugly and dark past became totally new. Paul's shameful past in which he became an enemy of God became sublimated by God, who trusted him and used him in Jesus Christ as a stepping stone of faith that caused Paul to be all the more devoted to God. His past, which was but ugly and dark, began to function positively in the grace of God.
So Paul
confessed that it is all done by the grace of God.
오직 나와 함께 하신
It is not done by me. It is done by the grace of God. That's his confession. Here we can learn something very precious.
내가 중심을 다해 하나님을 향할 때
If God goes so far as to restore our dark and meaningless past, when our hearts turn to Him so that it comes to have meaning and value, then the meaning and value of our present life, in which our hearts have turned to Him, cannot be but more precious than those of the past. Because our present, in which we pursue God wholeheartedly, is being weaved as a time that God will use for His own purpose. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, in which we celebrate the coming of Jesus who came to this world to save us from sin and death. Jesus did not come to this world in majestic appearance of a king wearing a royal robe at an imperial palace, commanding thousands of troops and horses. He was born in a stable, manger as his bed, and lived life of a poor of Galilean throughout his life. He lived a life of hardship, far from any comfort. At the end of his days, in Gethsemane, he was overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and prayed heartbreakingly until blood seeped through his sweat. At the end, he had to die by being nailed on the cross. His life was hard, lonely, and dotted with anguish and tears. But by God, he became the Savior who rose again for eternity, breaking death apart. When the heart of Jesus focus only on God. All of his sufferings, anguish, sadness, and even death were sublimated by God as the base for his resurrection. Gratefully enough, we are living this world as Christians who have been chosen by God in him as his children. As we live, there can be moments of hardship, there can be times of pain, days of tears, seasons of despair, days like death. But no matter what the circumstances may be, let us not forget that we are the children of God who have been saved in Jesus Christ. Each today that comes upon us daily is not a time given to us simply because the sun has arisen from the east without any meaning. These are the times belonging to God in which God means to use our lives as his instruments. In order to entrust these times to us, he delivered us from sin and death by offering his only son as a sacrifice. And he made our hearts to beat while we were asleep deeply last night. Therefore, the importance of today, the importance of the time called today, cannot be overemphasized. Each of today's that are given to us day after day are precious horizontal threads that weave mysterious will of God within Jesus Christ, who is the vertical thread of truth and life. Beloved brothers and sisters, no matter what circumstances we are facing now, let us dedicate our hearts to God in Jesus Christ. As Christians, let us sow the seeds of truth and life that should be sowed today in our home, workplace, this world, even if we have to do so with tears, then our ugly and dark past will be restored with new meaning and will have come to have new worth in resurrected Jesus Christ. And the will of God will come to a beautiful fruition through each day given to us. God will use our lives as synagogues of our times, which lets flow the love and life in God to the world. Here is the very reason that God has sent His only Son to us 2,000 years ago. Let's pray. The lives of Jewish people who scattered to foreign lands after losing their countries were difficult, painful, and full of tears. But through that process, God made them build a temple that would soon be used as outpost for the spreading of gospel. Jesus, who came to this world as one of the poor of Galilee and taught the gospel and healed the sick at the temple, died by being nailed to the cross as a sacrifice, an atonement to pay for man's sin, and then was raised again by God, breaking forth from death, and became the eternal Lord. Barnabas and Paul, starting from Cyprus, which was their first mission field, used the Jewish temple as a pathway to send out to the world the love and the life that is in the Lord. Jewish temple became a sure sign that within Jesus Christ, all the sufferings and tears of man without fail become healed and sublimated into new meaning and are given new value by God. As we come upon the second Sunday of the Advent in memory of Jesus, who came to this world 2,000 years ago for us, help all of us to reorder our hearts in Jesus Christ and to offer them whole to God. Although we may shed tears, help us to willingly sow the seeds that we should sow as Christians. Allow our past, which is ugly and dark, to become charged with new meaning and new worthiness within Jesus Christ, who rose again, breaking death apart. Allow our tears and sufferings to come to wonderful fruition in bearing fruits of truth and life. May each of our todays given to us become precious horizontal threads that weave the mysterious will of God within the vertical threads of truth and life, that is Jesus Christ. Allow our very lives, therefore, to become the temples of God that have been readied by you for this age in order for your love to flow into the world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.